Hey y'all, welcome back to Boundaries and Grace. This is the season finale. Yeah. And I don't think I could have closed this out with anyone else other than Shanada. I think you're going to love it. So she's going to talk to us about her experience in Release the Rads, a processing group that I do for 6 weeks with up to 10 individuals. She's going to tell you about what that was like for her, what she got out of it, how her life has changed. And it's just so good. So sit back and relax and let's see what Shanada has to say. Shanada, hey.
Hi.
Can you please introduce yourself to us? Who are you? Where are you? What do you do? Tell us.
So my name is Shanada. Hi, everybody. I live in Philadelphia, and I am a mental health therapist.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a special population that you work with? I didn't ask you that.
I have a special population I rather work with.
Yeah, that
probably
one.
Kids. Like, I love working with kids. I feel like I see everybody, like, mm-hmm. from, like, 7 to, like, 65. But I prefer kids because I feel like a lot of my adults, their trauma is from childhood. So if I could kind of tackle that when they're young, maybe it won't end up being where they're having, like, these really seriously traumatic experiences. In therapy and trying to like work through those after a couple of years. So yeah, I like working with the kids.
That's beautiful. We all needed that. Everybody that's going to listen to this is going to be like, please, I wish my mother would have.
Yeah. Seriously.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love that. So important. And you were in Release the Rags, the processing group.
Yeah.
For six weeks. Yeah. And I want to know first, why were you even interested in Release the Rags at the beginning?
I needed to get my entire life together because I feel like with what I do, I was focusing more on other people's mental health and them and their healing and not my own. And I just decided that it was time to prioritize myself. And I found the group just at the perfect time. Like for me, it was like when I really was going to be ready and open to receiving it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had, prior to group starting, I had this like really intense experience. I was like driving. I was just taking a drive. I just wanted to get out the house. And I felt like I was good. I felt that I was good. I was taking a drive. I went out about 40 minutes away from Philly. And all of a sudden I just like broke down on the expressway. Like I was just like crying and I was like having this really intense conversation with God. And it was more like, you have been putting like band-aids over bullet wounds and you have to start dealing with this. This was in December.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? I'm fine. I'm healed. What are you talking about? And it was just like, but you're not. And you need to really, if you don't want to enter 2021 the way that you literally like tried to survive in 2020, you have to start dealing with some things. And it's not going to be easy and it's not going to be pretty, but it will be worth it. And I was like, okay. I mean, because 2020 was so rough. So I was just like, all right, well, let's see what happens. And then I just found the group when it was just like the right time for me to be where I could like receive it. Like I would never have been able to do something like that prior to that conversation with God. And then just prioritizing like my prayer life and just like my self care and just, I disconnected from a lot of things. Like I only used my phone for work. I didn't really talk. I needed like some time because I felt like I was holding everybody else's stuff. And I didn't like who I was. I just didn't like who I was. And I wanted to change. And I found group and it literally changed my life. It changed everything. In 6 weeks, it changed everything.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. Thank you. I didn't know about the car. I didn't know about that car situation in December.
Yeah, it was intense. It was so intense.
It sounds like it.
It was like it needed to happen. And I, I'm grateful because I don't even look back at it like, oh my goodness, I wish that that would have never happened. It's like, I'm so glad that it happened because it really set the tone for how I needed this new year to go.
For when you like came to group, before like you came upon group and like just that option, did you have an idea of how you wanted to deal with the new kind of like revelation that you've had that you needed to prioritize yourself? Did you have an idea of how you were going to go about it?
Not really. I just knew that I needed to strengthen my boundaries. Mm-hmm. I talk about it all the time with work, but then I was like, you're not following that. And I felt like I lost myself. I felt like I lost myself in other people. And I just wanted to have more balance. Yeah. I wanted it to be balanced. Like, my words for 2021 are aligned and balanced. And I wanted to live into that. Like, I really wanted to live into it, lean into it. And so I didn't have any expectations with group except that I was going to get exactly what I needed. Like, after learning more about it, talking to you about it, I was just like, I think this is going to be really, really good for me. But I have to allow myself to be vulnerable. And that was always like a huge issue for me because it didn't always feel safe to do that. Yeah. And so I was like, I have to the only expectation was just be open, be vulnerable if it feels safe and just see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Vulnerability is like the key to everything. And also like the most difficult thing for people to do, or I'll put it like, I would say it's a difficult thing for us people to relate to. It's either like we feel like we're so overly vulnerable where we literally like easily get hurt all the time, or like another way of associating or rather relating to vulnerability in an unhealthy way can look like that, like being overly that, or can look like being not like that at all and being overly guarded. Or I'm hearing you say that you were experiencing a lot of people. I'm going to put it like this. You put it differently. So I want to know if we're saying the same thing, that you were experiencing a lot of people taking from you.
Oh, yeah. Yes. But I was allowing it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they were just taking and I had no idea. I was willingly participating in it because I was afraid to lose certain people in my life. Yeah. I was afraid to have it shift. I was afraid to have it be a change. And holding on to like dead things. And I knew that the group, was going to help me because the message that I've been getting for like the last couple months was to release the things that no longer serve. Mm-hmm. And I knew that the group would help me with that. Because I didn't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't successful with it. I was holding other people's stuff. I was allowing people to just take. And I felt extremely drained. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that just based off of our conversation prior to group and learning about it, I was like, I'm going to get my entire life and I'm not going to be able to like BS my way through this. There's no way. So I was excited. I was really excited. I didn't know what to expect because I didn't know anybody, but I was just incredibly like surprised and blessed. And I feel very grateful. I feel very, very grateful. Mm,
that's beautiful. It is crazy how like, you know, everybody's a stranger. I'm the only one that had a conversation with people before, obviously. And it's like, I go into these groups, like, we'll see what happens, you know, just like with faith, right. You know, you know, everybody's in the right place. And it's amazing how things gel together naturally because everyone is there with the same intention of releasing, of being better, of being supportive for other people. But also what's interesting is that a lot of people in that group, in the groups in general are like super supportive people, but realize that they've been like in a way overly supportive of others, to your point of like where it becomes detrimental. I have a question. True. I like that you said you realized you were holding on to dead things. How do you know that they were dead? Like what are the signs, now that you're looking back, are there signs of dead things that someone might recognize in their life?
For me, it was an increase in anxiety. I, with certain interactions, I felt like I was walking on eggshells through my life with people. I felt like there was a lot of people pleasing, and I often felt like rejected, mm-hmm. and I felt like abandoned a lot, mm-hmm. but I was still like holding on to people. Like I was still doing whatever I felt mm-hmm. like I could to keep these people in my life. Mm-hmm. So I realized that I just didn't recognize myself. I didn't recognize myself. This is not who I've ever been. And so it was just like, I know that I don't have to feel like this, because I'm noticing, like, when I took that disconnecting time and I literally just stayed to myself for a couple of weeks and just really dived into like prayer time and just time with me and like learning who I am, I felt so at peace. I felt so at peace. I didn't feel anxious. I didn't feel like depressed. I didn't feel any of the things that I had felt when I was holding on, when I was like engaging with those dead things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just noticed the difference, and it was kind of like, oh, so I don't have to feel like that. I can continue to feel this peace. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. And so my prayer ended up being like, just God, like, please remove whatever is not for me. So, and I want to be, and not only do I want you to like remove it, but I want to be okay with it, mm-hmm. whether it's people, whether it's a job. And it ended up being a few of those things, whether it's, just a mindset, like whatever it is, I know that when those things are removed, something better is going to come, and I'm going to trust that. But I'm not going to continue to allow myself to feel like this. And so that's what it was for me. Like just having that disconnecting time, those yeah. couple of weeks, it was like, wow, I felt, it really was like a huge weight had like lifted off my shoulders,
yeah.
which is why I was able to be open to the group when it came around. I wouldn't have been able to do that otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It clogs the channel. Like when we're holding yep. on to those
yes.
things,
we can't receive.
We can't really listen. We can't really connect. And it's like right when those things that we've been holding on to, those dead things, when we finally at least allow it to be a possibility that maybe, uh-huh. maybe if I step away, maybe there's something else. Maybe I can have a different experience, because we're not always sold. People aren't always sold on like, it is a better way, but at least it has to be possible for there to be a better way, for it to actually be realized in your life. So that's
absolutely
amazing.
Absolutely.
What did
I mean? I felt like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go. Then I'll go.
So I just wanted to say I felt like I am really good, or I was really good at being very supportive of other people, and helping them see that they can heal and all that stuff, whether it was like in my professional life or my personal life, but I wasn't doing the same thing for myself. I was absolutely not treating myself the same way. I wasn't extending the same grace to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very hard on myself because of what I do. I felt like I'm not allowed to like feel anxious or depressed mm-hmm. or feel like I need a change or anything like that. And it was kind of like, you're not a therapist first. You're a human first. Like you're a human being. You can have human moments, and it's okay to feel like you need to shift things and change things, because ultimately it will make you a better person overall. Mm-hmm. Which will then extend to your professional and personal life. So I just want to say that.
Yeah. And I love that you are saying it and like reemphasizing that, because mm-hmm. as a therapist with therapists,
mm-hmm.
it is
mm-hmm.
so important. And I was going to ask you what that felt like being in your chair, and then talking about those boundaries, like really say, not taking your own advice, essentially, is what I'm saying. As you were trying to help people through it, were there times where you heard clients say things that you were like, oh, I'm doing that same shit? Or like, did you
yep,
ever hear
but I'm like, I'm not gonna say it out loud. Yeah. I'm not gonna admit it, but it was like, okay, damn. Like, I get it. And I understand where you are, because I'm right there, but it was easier for me to extend that support for them instead of myself.
Yeah.
Like I did not treat myself very well. And it was because of the things that I was holding on to, what I was afraid to let go of. Cause I didn't know what was going to happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to a point where it's like, I can't keep helping other people or helping other people to kind of see what they can tap into. And I'm not doing that for myself. Yeah. It gets very old. And I was just tired of feeling shitty.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, something has to change.
Mm-hmm.
Something, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but something has to change.
When you talk to clients now about boundaries, because I'm sure that boundaries come up still all the time, because they just are such a big part of, like, I think most people's therapeutic process, boundaries usually comes
mm-hmm.
up. So how is it different now when you're talking to clients about it, now that you like really have embodied that work yourself?
It's so different. Like before, I felt like it was very surface level. And now boundaries are, it's a lifestyle.
Like yeah.
It's a lifestyle, you know, and I've, it's helped me be able to kind of explain that to clients better.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't have to like give a ton of explanations. You can say no, and that's it. And that's a sentence. No, that's it. You don't have to like, because really the explanation is not for you, it's for the other person. And it's not your job to hold on to other people's, like how they handle your boundaries. It's your responsibility to implement them for yourself. You don't have any control over how someone takes it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just at a point where, and I said it in group, like I'm just not willing to like ignore my boundaries and like dim myself down for other people to feel comfortable.
Yes.
I'm not going to.
And I love you. Something that you do a lot when you're speaking
what?
About it is you are so intentional with like your words. I noticed that you always say now, you always like, as you were going through group, you switched to say, I'm not willing to do this. Like I'm not willing. And you do it consistently. I mean, like you don't miss it. You don't miss it. You're like, I'm not willing to do it. And I love that word willing is so important, or not willing, because you could, but I'm not willing to do that. And I just think that that's just important to highlight that, like the language that we use is so important. And I just appreciate that you're super consistent with that. Because it speaks to really
that
where
made my
you're
day.
At.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Because I didn't even realize I did that. But I mean what I say. Like I went through I've never been in such a dark space.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized that I was giving too much of that power away. And so now it's like, I know what it's like. I know what it feels like to feel peace, to feel in control of myself, and to not dim my light for other people to feel like they can be okay. And it's like, I'm just not willing to sacrifice. I'm not willing to sacrifice myself for anybody anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's really what it is. Let's call it what it is. Sacrificing yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's what it is. I'm offering everything. I'm offering my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying it in like a jokey kind of way, but like, that's really what it is. It's like, I'm willing to anything and everything above and beyond, drain myself, exhaust myself. And it just really gets out of hand.
And then it still isn't enough. Like then it still it's not enough for the person. So
wow.
It's like,
don't forget
what
that
more
part.
Can I give you? Like what more? Cause I am completely just exhausted from it. So what more can I give you? And I think that was when I was like, you're going to wear yourself out and just completely just like drain yourself if you continue to go like that.
Yeah. How are we doing so far? Yeah. If you are interested in joining Release the Rads, the group that Shanada completed with me, if you're interested in joining and being one of 10 people in the next group, or maybe the group after, you just want some information about what even happens in these groups, you can use the group interest form. It's super short. It's your name and your email address, and it's linked below. So if you are interested in Release the Rags, you can fill out that super short interest form and I will reach out to you to schedule a time for us to briefly talk so you can get a good idea if it's a good fit for you. All right, y'all, let's get back to it.
Mm-hmm. It's never, and why are you working so hard to keep these toxic ass people in your life? Like, what is mm-hmm. that? And really having to unpack that. Like, mm-hmm. what is that? Why? What is that attachment style mm-hmm. that you have? Like, what is that? And that actually, that was what like drew me into group, because I found you randomly, like on like a hashtag Black Therapist, and like you popped up and we had a couple of like exchanges and I was like, oh, she's so chill, like I'm gonna start following her. And then you posted about, oh man, now I'm confused. It was like anxious attachment.
Anxious attachment. Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, oh my, and it was kind of like, whoa, I feel like I don't feel like I'm losing my mind, because there's a word for it. Like there's, cause I didn't know what I was like. And even being a therapist, I guess I never even like tapped into that this could be happening to me. And I was like, I just felt like, all right. So
and
something
that is
has
so
to give.
Wild. Like, cause I,
it's
and,
wild, so
and I'm
wild.
Not saying like, it's cause with us too, like in grad school, I mean, we just flew right over attachment styles. And then when you really look back and it's like, maybe like spend some time like on this so you can figure out where you're at. And like, you know, cause so a lot of therapists, we like really don't know. Or like for me, like when I was in grad school, I thought I was securely attached. I was like, yeah, for sure. Cause I felt confident.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I don't have any problems. And like, nobody questioned it. Nobody questioned it. And I'm like, somebody needed to be like, first of all, someone should have stopped me in my tracks for real, but nobody did. And so I'm just going along like, I'm cool. I'm good.
Yep. Like,
meanwhile, was in one of the most toxic relationships that I've ever been in, ever. Mm-hmm. Whole mm-hmm. time talking about secure. Like, so what? I mean, we really just flew right over attachment. And somebody would have been like, hey, maybe like, sit down and think about it a little bit more. I might have, you know.
Because they don't. And like really unpack it because they don't. They don't.
They really
and
don't.
And I was just like, this is not me. Like, what are you talking about? Like, and then just like, it was like, wow, there's actually a name for it. Of course, this is what this is. Of course, mm-hmm. this is where I am right now. And it's like, okay, so now that you've identified this, what happens next?
Yes.
What do you want to do about it?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the group just like, I mean, it really came at the best time, because I really needed to be open to something like that. Cause it is a very, it's intense. Mm-hmm. It's a lot that you share and a lot that you go through mm-hmm. in 6 weeks, but it is so, so, so worth it mm-hmm. because I definitely didn't leave the group the way I came in, for sure. Like, and people in my life are like, you, what's different about you? And I'm like, oh, I have boundaries, like down to my soul now. That's the difference
yes.
with me. Like, you know, like that's the difference. That's the difference.
Like when you were talking about the way that you now talk about it with clients and how it's because it's like a life, it's a lifestyle, literally. I mean, it really is. Like it becomes who you mm-hmm. are. And not that like the boundaries aren't who you are, but it's a secure person is who you are. Like a confident person right. is who you are. Someone with healthy self-esteem is who you are. And that is the thing that's coming out. That feels good. That feels good. It's just
yeah, it
like when you,
so good.
When you talk to people about it, it's like, it's a whole, because I talk to plenty of people who think they know boundaries, right? And then you talk to people uh-huh. who you know boundaries, like this is what you yep. do. You're not playing around. Like you didn't just read the book. You know what I mean? You didn't just read a book or like follow the hashtag boundaries hashtag. Like you really do this shit. Like you really set some uh-huh. fucking boundaries in your life. And it's a
but
whole
you know, you have
different
to go
feeling.
Through that.
Yes.
Yeah. You, I feel like with me, or just with people in general, I feel like it's easy to say, oh, I have boundaries, I'm good. But until you like kind of go through some really like challenging things and you're like, I don't have the boundaries that I think I have. I don't,
right.
something, so, like, I don't, you know, obviously something is going on because I am allowing myself to be played or hurt or I am,
duped.
You know, allowing people to make me feel less than, and mm-hmm. I'm questioning my worth and my self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in like friendships and relationships. And mm-hmm. it's just like, you will never. And so when you experience that and you get to a point where you're like, I'm going to show up for myself. If I can show up for the wrong people so highly, I can do this for myself. Like, this should not. But that can be difficult. And at least it was difficult for me, because it was about kind of like looking inward and being like, what you've been doing and what you feel like has been working is not working. Mm-hmm. And the whole like band-aids or bullet wounds. And I had heard it before of my therapist. Yes, therapist. My therapist was like, girl, this is not it. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm fine. I'm like, I'm not the same person I was when we first started, but it was kind of like, but you're also glazing over something. And even in that, feeling comfortable enough to like seek out a therapist. Mm-hmm. As a therapist, I felt shame. I felt a lot of shame. Like, I should be able to have this together. Like, I should be able to like handle things that are going on in my life because I help other people do it all the time. But when I stopped to think about it, it was like, you're going through a pandemic just like everybody else. Everything shifted for you with work just like everybody else. I was coming out of a really like toxic breakup, and I was still very much in the midst of that. And then also having like these like insane like friendship issues. And it was like, you're having all this stuff happen. You're feeling anxious, you're feeling depressed, and it's okay for you to seek out help. It's okay for you to feel like it's okay to talk to someone, but mm-hmm. I felt shame from it. Mm-hmm. So I think that had that not kind of been set in motion, I would have never been able to even feel comfortable to do group, because I would have continued to be feeling the shame.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't worthy enough to go talk about what was going on with me. Mm-hmm. But I am. Mm-hmm. And once I did that, once I allowed myself to feel like it's okay for me to have this, because what I noticed in the past was that I never felt completely comfortable to be open about how I felt, because it would either be, I would be like gaslighted or dismissed, or I would feel dismissed or gaslighted or like rejected. And so it just didn't feel safe, so I would keep it in. And then it would just kind of continue to build and build and build. And so being able to say it's okay to have a therapist as a therapist, and it's okay to like do groups that are going to help you grow. Mm-hmm. And you can still be a badass therapist, but you need to be a whole person. Mm-hmm. And I was very good at the therapy part, but I wasn't a whole person. I wasn't allowing myself to be a whole person.
Yeah.
And that, like, tapping into that has shifted everything. Because it's just, it goes back to realizing, like, I'm not going to sacrifice myself or my mental health or my worth or anything mm-hmm. for other people who are not good for me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yes.
Releasing the rags.
We are here for that. Release mm-hmm. the rags. Okay, mm-hmm. So I think like I could really talk to you about boundaries for a very long time, but I want to switch gears just a little bit, because we could just keep going down this road. But I want to hear a bit about negativity in your life. Like, before, what role did negativity play in your life before you decided to do something about it? Like, I heard drained before, I heard dead things before. So I just want to know a little bit more about like the role that negativity played. What places in your life was it affecting?
Oh, we were one. Like, we were in a serious relationship. Mm-hmm. And it was something I had gotten used to. And when I say negativity, it wasn't just like how I thought about myself, like those self-deprecating thoughts. It was also the conversations that I was having with people. Mm-hmm. It was the interactions I was having. I was surrounded by it. Mm. And it was killing me. Like I was drowning. And so I guess for me, it was just getting to a point where I wanted to save myself more than I wanted to hold on to what was familiar. Mm-hmm. And that was the negativity. And that was not that it was comfortable, but it was familiar.
Right.
And, you know, being able to like getting to a point where you're like, I have to not only just remove people, but I have to remove just mindsets and the way that I speak to myself.
Yes.
Like the way that I speak to myself, or the things that I'm not saying to myself that I'm able to say to other people. Ooh. That's a problem. Ooh. That's a problem. And I continuously was like showing up for other people, speaking like life into them and all this stuff. And it's like, but you're just like accepting this, like you're accepting the negativity. And it just, it became too consuming. Like I felt like I was drowning. And that I was just like, something has to shift. And I really honestly didn't know what needed to happen, like what I could do. I just knew that something needed to change because mm-hmm. I didn't want to keep being a negative person. I didn't want to always just feel like I felt like I was walking through life as Eeyore. Like it was a mess. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he was very content just being super like depressed and just like, right. He was who he was, you know? And it's just right. Like, this is what negativity does.
That's not what God has for you. So let's just emphasize that. That's just what negativity does. Is it's just going, it just sticks. It just yep. is sad. It just is heavy. Yep. And I think sometimes, or a lot of times, people want the negativity to do something. They want the negativity to go. But we're not trying to do that. You have to release the negativity. You can't just ask negativity to go away because it's going to do what it does.
Right. Absolutely.
How have your relationships changed since reassessing your environment, removing the drains, removing energy vampires, or readjusting at least, and setting the energy vampires, setting boundaries for yourself? How have your relationships been affected?
So the healthy ones have taken more. I've allowed them to be the forefront now. I had a huge issue with focusing on the negative relationship.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, I mean, I would, you know, I would engage with the positive people, but I like was addicted to the negative people. It was, that's, you know, so, and it was just like important. when after all of this, it was like, once I disconnected, it was easy for me to focus more on the positive people. And I felt like, you know, these people have been around for so long. You didn't give them the energy that you should have been giving them because you were so focused on other people who just didn't respect you, didn't love you, didn't care about you. It was kind of just like an energy vampire. And so it's all shifted. Like my relationship with the right people, like healthy individuals, my tribe, it's the strongest it's ever been.
Yeah.
I feel like my relationship with my family has become stronger. I've been able to be more open and vulnerable because I was a very like guarded person, very easy for other people to talk to me, but it's like, I was like Fort Knox. And so that has shifted and they've noticed that I've been able to be open to like a new relationship. And then like you get into that and you're like, that's what I settled for before? Like, oh no, absolutely not. Like, it's right. just such a shit. It's such a shit.
Right.
Like,
okay. Hello.
Girl,
hello.
No.
It is.
No.
Won't it make it easy to pass on somebody? Hello. Won't it make it easy?
Okay.
What in the world are you trying to get away with over here? I can't even do it. Can't even think about it.
Won't even think about it.
Won't do it.
No
can't
way.
Can't do it.
But it's just like, wow. Like that's what I was like holding on to.
Yes.
And so I like the group actually helped me work on those self-sabotaging, like the self-sabotaging that I was doing. Cause that was happening with the new person. And I was like, you're not going to do this.
Uh-huh.
The group really showed me like this, that where you're trying to go, you can't bring what you used to do. Like it's not going to work. And I mean, it just shifted everything. So I don't know. It's like, it's really hard to explain, but I'm just so at peace, and I feel like everything really just aligned, and I feel very balanced, and
Hello.
I feel so good. And I'm like, when I look back, like, wow, where were you at March 12th of 2020? You were probably crying your eyes out and feeling just awful and feeling sad, and like, I'm pretty sure that's where you were. And now it's like, I mean, I'm just,
Lord.
I'm at peace.
Yes.
I'm
you
at peace.
Sound like you're at peace. You sound
I feel
you
so
sound
good.
Like you're just feeling good. feeling good, looking good, setting boundaries, relationships looking good, friends looking good.
I mean, I love to hear it. If this could just be the mood.
Yes.
All year long. And it totally can be. Because I deserve it.
And it totally can be. And it totally will be.
And it will be.
That's right.
It will be. Because I deserve it. And I'm starting to see that I deserve it. And I mean, not just with you, but all the women in the group. Like, I felt so supported. And I didn't feel judged. And you just never know what it's going to look like because you're coming in with a bunch of strangers. And it was just like, I felt at home. Yeah. I always got excited when I knew group was happening. Like the first week that we didn't have, I was like, okay, something feels off. Like, where are my people at? Like, it just felt like it felt different. But I also was like, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful because each week I was able to just express what I needed to express. And I felt supported. And it was interesting. Like, we all come from different walks of life, but we had similar experiences. Yeah. And so it just was a safe space. And I think that was the shift. I'm a huge like supporter of like being open when it feels safe. Like, it has to feel emotionally safe. And it did. And that's what group was. Mm. I was always talking about it. Like, I was always talking about it. And it was just like, I really, like, no matter how long the day was work-wise, I knew, like, you're carving out this time and this is just for you. This is not for anybody else. Mm-hmm. This is just for you. And you get to connect with these, like, amazing human beings and hear their stories, and they get to hear yours, and you walk away feeling lighter than you did when you came into the group.
Oh, I have goosebumps. I just love it.
It was so great.
I feel like I'm hearing it all like I wasn't there. I'm like, let me get into group. Because it sounded really good. But really, really, like, it is such a safe space. And I appreciate all of the women who were there, and to be like listening and open and to be in this receptive mode. And I just can't emphasize how important that is, clearly. So, there was a question. What was I just about to ask you? Hold on. Let me think. It's going to come to me. Has to do with something about relationships. Oh, I have it. You know why? Because I took a little note. I put a little star next to it right here on this paper next to me. Because you said something, and I got to back it up. I got to back up like 8-9 minutes, okay? Because you said the healthy relationships have taken the forefront. Someone had said something. Mm. I had a conversation with someone. Oh, yeah. I remember exactly what it was. I'm not going to put all the stuff on blast. But it's interesting because it was the first time that I it was like the first time that statement about like the healthy relationships taking a backseat had really been, put on the table for some reason this other day. I guess maybe I was hearing it in a different way or experiencing it in a different way. And I felt like that statement or that pattern is so important to highlight. And we're not talking about this particular pattern as directly as we could. This idea of like prioritizing the toxic relationships, and the way that it looks is like always going, and tell me if I'm wrong, because I think we're on the same page, but it feels like for me, and I think the person I was talking to the same way, where a healthy person might ask you, hey, what are you doing on Saturday? And you're like, oh, I'm feeling like, I really want to go out on Saturday. I really don't know. I don't know. I'll let you know on Saturday. A toxic person says, hey, what are you doing on Saturday? You're like, I'm open. I'm free. What's up? I want to meet up. What's going on? You know, and that's like an example. It doesn't necessarily sound exactly like that, but it's the symbolism, the principle is the same, that we unknowingly, ignore or minimize relationships with healthy people when we are in an unhealthy place and we're wondering why we're feeling like shit, but the healthy people can't even get to us. It's like, that's the thing. It's always, it's typically always available for people. It's just that we're not paying attention to them or pouring into them. We don't find them as exciting. We don't think they're as interesting. They don't have the drama for us. So we really don't know what to do. Yes.
And because it's not the drama, stable. Like you said.
And so we don't even know. We don't know how to ride that ride. That ride feels like it's a yacht. You are on a yacht on calm by the calm Greek Isles. Okay. But you in a toxic relationship with a roller coaster that never comes back. It never comes back. You're up and down and all around. It's like, sign me up. That's the one I want to get on. That's mine.
Because you think it's a thrill, and it's just like, get off the ride.
Not the kind of thrill I want.
Run away.
Anymore.
No, because it like,
run
it
away.
Leaves you feeling like drained and busy and just like nauseous.
Dizzy.
Like, no.
Dizzy and nauseous. Yeah, not what you want.
No.
Not what you want. So I appreciate you saying that so clearly, because I think that that is a really good like statement of accountability. Like I am minimizing or ignoring healthy people, and I am prioritizing the unhealthy ones. I can bring my healthy relationships, like you said, to the forefront. That is accountability to like a super high degree that, we all have to take that responsibility. It's kind of like the negativity thing. We can't just say, leave me alone. You know what I hear all the time, and I know you hear it too. I wish he would just leave me alone. Why does he keep I tell him, just leave me alone. I tell her, just stop hitting me up. Who is he? It's no. Listen, don't say that shit to me. Don't say that shit to me. Don't even try it. If you listening to this and you about to scroll down to use your free call, leave that one out. Okay, I just want him to leave me alone. What are you talking about? He's gonna do, she's gonna do what they do, just like you were talking about with
Absolutely.
Eeyore, right? That's what they do. So you have to take responsibility, accountability for your own life and your relationships and say, you don't have to leave me alone because I'll leave you alone. And that's that. And that's that.
And that's it. Because you're putting that responsibility on somebody else. And
that's
it's
right.
Like, no, like you. I'll leave you alone. You can continue to be who you are, and that's fine for you and whoever is choosing to engage with you, but this no longer works for me. So I want to remove myself from the equation.
I'm unwilling.
Have a nice life. Be blessed, beloved. Like, it's just done. It's just, but you have to get to that point where you're ready to say that. You have to get to that point where you're ready to prioritize yourself and your needs over the other person that you're trying to hold on to.
This is so good.
Or whatever you're trying to hold on to. So, yeah.
Yeah, because it usually is not the person. But anyway, that's a whole other topic. Okay, I don't want to get... Let me stop myself. Don't let me get started on what you're really holding on to. I'm going to save it. I'm going to save somebody's life. I'm not even going to read somebody like that today. I'm not going to do it, Shanada.
Yeah, they might not be ready for it.
Okay, yeah, you warmed them up well enough. Okay, you already dropped too much on them. Okay, so we can only do so much. This is so good. I can't wait to. I need to hear this again. This is like something that you just need to. I just need to save it. I just need to save it like in my phone and be like, you know what? When I think that I want to go down a road that I know is not good for me, I need to hear you say it. I need to hear you say it. Stop holding on to these dead things, okay?
Dead things.
Goodness,
dead things.
So good. I want to know this last question. What, if there's one thing that you, if you could guarantee that someone listening would totally grasp and know for certain when this episode is done, what is the one thing that you really, really want people to know for certain?
You don't have to stay stuck. You don't have to stay stuck. It is showing up for yourself, putting yourself first, having boundaries are great with other people, but you have to start with yourself. And so just knowing that you don't have to stay in the mindset and the relationship and the friendship and the job or anything that makes you feel less than. You do not have to stay stuck. And when you're ready to take that step, however you take it, because my journey may be different, you know, than other people. It works for me. It may not work for other people the way I went about it, but just knowing you don't have to stay stuck. It is okay to prioritize yourself is necessary to not forget yourself, you know, as you're going through life. Like, why? I just didn't want to look back and think, I spent so much time giving myself to others, I never gave to myself. Mm-hmm. So just not being stuck. So if people don't take anything else from it, don't be stuck. Like, you don't have to, you have more control than you think you do. Mm-hmm. And it's just about saying, okay, this may not be the easiest thing. This is going to hurt. And I'm going to have to, like, shed some things. And, but what you get on the other side, I promise you, it is so worth it. It's so, so, so worth it. Like, there's nothing like that peace and that healing that you can get by putting yourself first and allowing yourself not to stay stuck. So, yeah.
Well, you sold that. Somebody need to get unstuck. Okay.
Unstuck. Yeah.
I need to get unstuck after hearing all of that. Wow. Thank you, Shanada. Thank you.
Thanks. This was so fun. I had so much fun. Thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. How was that? If you liked today's episode, could you please take 3 seconds to rate it in the App Store? If you haven't subscribed, go ahead and click that notification button so that you get that ping whenever there's a new episode. We're going to be on a 2-week break before starting season 3. All right. So I will see you very, very soon. You can email me, Taylor at Thresh Coach, ThreshCoach. Taylor at Thresh Coach. If there's anything in particular that you would love for me to talk about next season or the season after, please hit me up. Or of course, you can always find me on Instagram. Y'all, it's been an amazing season. Thank you for being here. I'll see you in 2 weeks.